Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, indeed. It is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd, although, listen, I got to confess, not happy for the underlying reason. You know, back last Thursday, Todd started feeling a little under the weather. Turned out suffering from an illness. It did require hospitalization. No, not in any way related to the old ticker. He's fine in that regard. Long story short, he's undergoing treatment. Doctors say he's going to make a full recovery. Could be back as soon as later this week. And I can almost guarantee, knowing my friend Todd, as I do for, 20 plus years, I'm looking at Facebook, and there he is posting stuff on Facebook. I would almost guarantee that the doctor said, Mr. Starnes, please, just rest. Don't bother with, and by the time they tried to finish that sentence, Todd was out with a new post. But he's at the hospital. He is a good, solid man of faith, as you know, and I'm hoping you'll join me in praying for Todd's complete, speedy recovery. Okay? There you have that. Now, I don't know about you. I have spent the last 2 years of this reign of error we have seen in D.C., this presidential meat puppet of ours, the White House hobgoblin, Slow-Mo Joe, just sort of shuffling around the White House. You know that he's wearing a terry cloth bathrobe and big fuzzy bunny slippers. Yeah, I'm the president, right? Did you tell me? Yes, you're Mr. President. You're the president. Am I still the president? Yes, sir. You're still. Okay. What am I supposed to do? You're doing it. Oh, fantastic. Is there ice cream? Yes, there's a vast amount of ice cream. I don't know how we survived the last 2 years, to tell you the truth, except that you and I happen to be proud Americans. And as proud Americans, what are we dedicated to? We're dedicated to preserving this wonderful nation that we live in, that we love. I don't want to see terrible things happen to this country, and so I remain on guard. Even as I look at elections that have results that I personally am not particularly fond of, I still love my nation. My question, the big question, if you had to have one, was, I don't know if we can survive the next 2 years. You think we can? I mean, I hope we can. I really do. I hope we can. I mean, I think about everything that goes on in America on a daily basis, right? Every single day, there are great Americans like Todd broadcasting live from the Liberty University studios, trying to bring the right message, the salient points, the vital information to all of us. Todd's website, toddstarnes.com. It's one of those must visits multiple times a day so that you are aware of what's going on. I've been told for 2 years now that this administration, everything this administration stands for, it's all about firsts, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Jeff, it's all about firsts. And I don't know if it's just my age as a 50-something-year-old guy. Is it the fact that I'm a married suburban father of three? I don't know. But I look at it and say, well, what happened to bests? I thought the whole point of this grand American experiment that we were undertaking was that we were concerned with true American excellence, that we wanted the best. We wanted the best people for the job. And it didn't matter to us what they looked like or who they spoke to or any of that, right? We wanted the best. We always wanted the best. We tried to teach our children, you have to strive for excellence. That's a good thing. Then we had sort of the soft stuff around the edges. Jeff, you know, that whole valedictorian thing. Gosh, if you've got just one student that gets to be valedictorian, you have to think about all the other students, Jeff. They didn't get to be valedictorian. No kidding. And the reason they didn't get to be valedictorian is that they did not achieve what that one student did. They did not work as hard. They did not study as hard. They did not do as well as that one student. Well, but Jeff, I mean, honest to goodness, it makes some of the other kids feel bad. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. My suggestion to you, rub some dirt in it. Take a lap. Walk it off. Am I still allowed to say man up? Probably not. So people up. Well, we're going to do away with that. We're not going to have a valedictorian. We really shouldn't have a salutatorian. And I didn't even know what the third place people are, the tutatorians or something. And then it was sports. Well, Jeff, come on. Everybody's on the field. I mean, really, isn't that the important part? No, it's not, because it's a competition. And competition, by definition, has winner. Right? But you know, Jeff, if somebody wins and somebody loses, and the people who are losing, they don't feel good. So we'll just do it. We're not going to keep score anymore. We won't have winners or losers. Everybody will be a winner. In which case, what you're really saying is everybody's a loser. Whatever. So it all became about firsts in the last 2 years, right? The Biden administration said, you know, we have to have a Secretary of Transportation, because that's just the way the whole thing operates. So who are you going to get, Mr. President? Are you going to get someone who has a lot of experience in the transportation field? Are you going to get somebody who really knows about the operations of interstate highways or railroads or airplanes or, I don't know, whatever it is that the Department of Transportation... No, Jeff, We're looking for first. So, look, we found this guy, Pete Buttigieg. And what's his qualification? Well, he's got two qualifications, really. Number one, on the transportation front, as a child, he owned a train set. So, I mean, really, can you get much better than that? And number two, which is really number one, because this is a first, he's gay. So he will be the first ever gay Secretary of Transportation, to which I respond, who cares? Is he the best person for the job, Jeff? We don't deal in bests. We deal in firsts. Our current Minister of Propaganda, Karine Jean-Pierre. The best? Gosh, all you have to do is watch or listen to one of her briefings and you know, no. Not the best, even if everybody else didn't bother showing up. She's still not the best. But she's a first, right? She's the first black, immigrant, lesbian press secretary. Does anybody really care about that? Honest to goodness, is there anybody sitting at home going, oh, that is fantastic? Of course not. But that's where we're headed, and this is why I'm asking. And I'm very serious now. Is it possible for us to survive the next 2 years of Joe Biden? And I'd like to think that we can. I mean, I do. I'd like to think that we can. I'm not sure, though. And one of the things... Oh, I almost forgot another first. Remember the guy with the beard and the dress who was charged with stealing ladies' luggage? Right. He was also a first, right? Another grand hire. First, I don't know, guy with the beard and a dress who was alleged to have stolen women's suitcases. Him, yeah. He was the first for whatever that job was, right? He was only in charge of, like, the disposal of nuclear waste. I mean, really, what could go wrong? So you got him. But I thought it was all about telling us that boys could be girls and girls could be boys, right? There's a lot of firsts around that. But we saw something happen in Nashville, Tennessee. And now I'm told that all of that important stuff about how boys can be girls and girls can be boys, and on a Wednesday you can do this, but on a Thursday you can decide you're something else, that's all gone out the window as the water carriers and the legacy news media ranks are doing everything they can to draw the attention away from the American people about a very important, and I do mean very important issue that is related to that situation. Now, you and I are going to talk about it. You and I are going to deal with it. And as we head through the day, I will tell you, we've got some wonderful folks who are joining us. Congressman Ralph Norman is going to be along just about an hour from now out of the 5th District in South Carolina. Somebody who knows the budget inside and out, and as you see interest rates going up and inflation is killing all of us, it'll be interesting to chat with Congressman Ralph Norman about all of that. I'm looking forward to that. We've got Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, former federal prosecutor who's going to be along. Is it really possible that former President Trump is going to be indicted? Would he be arrested? Or are we going to get a perp walk with the president? Gosh, Joe Moreno's got some insight. And as we talk about criminal matters across the country, what's the state of policing in the USA today? Why are there so many officers leaving the job and, quite frankly, so few men and women stepping up to do the job? Nobody better to analyze that than a dear friend of mine, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. And they will all be with us as we head through the program. And I'll remind you that each of them will join us on that Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Right now, more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values, like Patriot Mobile. Did you know Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier? It's true. Not only are they sharing our beliefs, they're actually doing something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. Right now, you can switch to Patriot Mobile. You use promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. You're going to get free activation as well as a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage. In fact, it uses the same towers other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, and they've got great discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. All you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and free premier activation by using promo code Todd. T-O-D-D. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. By the way, if you want to get ahead of some of the stuff I'll be talking about, I've put it up on my social media. I'd love to see you over there. And no, I don't have a billion followers like Todd does. But, you know, if you give me a follow, I'd appreciate it. Over on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show. It's The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Twitter, Jeff Katz Show. Getter, The Jeff Katz Show. So do me a favor, if you got a couple of moments, give me a follow over there. I would surely appreciate it. It is Jeff in for Todd. This is The Todd Starnes Show.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
It's the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz in for Todd today. Broadcasting from the Liberty University Studios. Remind you the number, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. 68. We had a terrible situation, as you know, in Nashville, Tennessee. And we have innocent people, innocent children, who are dead as a result of it. The ugly, and I do mean ugly, conduct on the part of the leftists as a result of this is, it's painful. It's just painful. And I want to point out that in this administration of firsts, where so much has been made of their new policy that says you can be whatever gender you'd like. Doesn't matter. Nope. Science, don't follow the science on this one, kids. Created in the image of, oh, don't go there, Jeff. Nope, you can be whatever you want. Boys can be girls, girls can be boys. Now, the problem that I have with that is, well, XX doesn't equal XY, and XY doesn't equal XX, and it never will. And it doesn't matter how you dress or how you sound or how you act. There are some things that will not change and do not change. And so the shooter, the killer, the murderer in Nashville is continually identified as a girl. And I thought at first when somebody sent me notes, I said, well, you know, Jeff, that that shooter is a transgender. I said, oh, well, is it a boy that says he's a girl? No, 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 just the opposite. It's a girl who says she's a boy. How come we're not paying attention to that? And how come we're not paying attention to the massive amounts of testosterone that are used when you are allegedly, quote, helping someone transition? The left, which wants to push the transgender agenda every single solitary second of every single solitary day without fail, all of a sudden says, there's got to be, something else around here. There's got to be something shiny that we can distract you with. Wow. Joe Biden got in on this, sort of. But before Joe Biden spoke of the killing, I want you to take a listen to what Joe Biden did. Can we hear cut number five, please?
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband, and I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs.
Now, this fool, this doddering fool, this delusional, demented gentleman was getting ready to speak about the murder of children in Nashville. But he had to talk first about his ice cream. There are no good, decent, honorable, sane people that could look at that and say, well, this is appropriate. In addition to the thoroughly inappropriate, demented conduct of Mr. Biden, can I tell you a little something about Jenny's ice cream? Jenny's ice cream costs $12 a pint. Do you have anything in your fridge or your freezer that costs $12 a pint? Of course not. You and I are trying to figure out how we help the hamburger helper these days. Because of this goofball in the White House who has inflicted upon us the highest inflation we've seen in 40 years. But he wants to tell you about his ice cream that's $12 a pint. Last year, one of my wife's relatives gave us a container of Jenny's ice cream, right? Like as a Christmas gift. It was okay. But I'm telling you right now, certainly not worth $12 a pint. But I guess if it's your money, you're a little more, you know, responsible with it. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. You are listening to The Todd Starn Show.
Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNS.
It's the Todd Starnes Show, live from the Liberty University Studios. Jeff Katz in for Todd today. Let's take a listen to a few things. You know, we've been talking about a lot of stuff, and this situation in Nashville. Innocent people dead. Man, I hate to bring you down, but it's the reality of it, right? Three children and three adults. Oh, and then the murderer herself. Why are we not going along with all of the transgender stuff and identifying her as him, right? Because that's become the thing to do these days. We just go along with whatever the fantasy is. I got a buddy of mine who's decided that his preferred pronouns are Your Majesty and Your Royal Highness. He says, well, why is that any less valid than a guy who says, well, no, I'm a girl, or a girl who says, I'm a guy? Why can't he stand up and say, yeah, I really am the King of England? You just didn't realize that. I identify as the King of England. I want you to take a listen to some of the insanity going on. Now, there's a reporter with NBC. Good, upstanding, water-carrying, legacy news media hacks. Asking a question that, well, it's twisted, but you have to listen to it. Cut number 15, please.
Pointed to last year's bipartisan reforms, as well as alluded to the executive actions, I think, of just a few weeks ago. And you also point it's not a panacea, but is there any disappointment from the administration that these efforts haven't had more of effect on lessening the scourge of terrible violence?
The shooting in Nashville has an unusual component in that the gunman is actually a woman. An adult woman has been identified now, 28 years old. Does the president have any expectation that when looking for a new way to talk about gun violence, we've been through Sandy Hook in the Obama years, we've been through Uvalde in this administration, looking for some way to have circumstances change how Americans feel about it. Tennessee is obviously a state with a gun culture as a part of its identity for many Tennesseans who live there and believe in a gun culture. Do you think there is any component of this, like having a female suspect, highly unusual, like in single-digit percentage of this, that could be a point for him to address to try to break through on a subject that has thus far not made change in the legislative realm?
So look, I know that the reporting on the shooting is still coming out, so I want to be very mindful and not get I've heard or watched those reportings as well before coming out, so I just want to be very mindful to not get ahead of I'm sure there'll be an investigation, they'll look into it, just want to be careful from here. The president's going to continue to take action to reduce gun violence.
Yeah, because there's a lot of violent guns out there, as you know, except they're not. Well, I mean, far be it for me to question the wisdom of folks who are in the White House. I've never encountered a violent gun. Never. Never once in my five decades on God's green earth. Never once. I've encountered violent people. I've encountered violent people with guns and knives and 2x4s and chains and cars. I've never actually encountered a violent gun. And despite the best efforts of the legacy news media hack there to somehow put this on people like you and people like me, well, you know, they're just great. They're holding on to their guns and they're God. And damn right I am. Hell yeah, I am. Because I'm worried about what the heck is going on in my country. But you can hear the machinations of this Karine Jean-Pierre. Man, she is so far out of her league. It's I honest to goodness, I feel bad for her. I really do. Her predecessor, Little Red Lying Hood, I thought, well, I mean, she's full of you-know-what, but at least she's up to the job of slinging it. Take a listen to the chief of police in Nashville, cut number 14.
She does identify as transgender, yes.
Uh-huh. Now, what does that mean, chief? Are we going to go along with all of the, quote, preferred pronoun stuff? Because if we're going to do that, doesn't that take some of the wind out of the sails of the people who are trying to blame everybody who apparently lives in this gun culture? What sort of medication was this young woman getting? And I don't know, 27, 28 years old? Well, for me, that's still young. You might be looking and going, hey, she aged out of young like 10 years ago, Jeff. All right, whatever. But how much testosterone was she receiving? Were there other treatments? And I am making those annoying air quotes as I say treatments. But what else was happening to her? She identifies as. What does that mean? And why are we not calling out the transgender movement on this one? Now, the pièce de résistance on all of this is Terry Moran from ABC. Mr. Moran is he's very, very concerned about this. And well, just take a listen. Cut number 12, please.
All right. That is Police Chief John Drake of Nashville, who is briefing reporters on the deadly grade school shooting in Nashville at the Covenant School there this morning. The police confirming 6 dead, 3 children. 1 8 years old, 2 9 years old, and 3 adults, including Catherine Kuntz, who is the head of the Covenant School. The police chief also said that the shooter has been identified as 28-year-old female Audrey Hale. Said she's a former student of the school and confirmed that Audrey Hale was identified herself as a transgender person. State of Tennessee earlier this month passed and the governor signed a bill that banned transgender medical care for minors, as well as a law that prohibited adult entertainment, including male and female impersonators, after a series of drag show controversies in that state. Once again, the shooter, Audrey Hale, 28 years old, identified as transgender female. Mayor John Cooper of Nashville spoke for many when he said he's overwhelmed by the loss at the Covenant School this morning. I want to bring in our Justice Department correspondent, Pierre Thomas, who has covered so many of these shootings. And this now, while the police chief specifically said they are investigating motive, this is a highly unusual crime in so many ways, a tragedy that now involves what may be this boiling controversy across the country around transgender health care.
Huh? All right, so explain to me, Mr. Moran, exactly what it was that this woman was not getting help with. Because remember, she's 28 years old. She was. The governor of Tennessee took steps to protect innocent children from this massive medical malpractice just recently. So the shooter, the killer, the murderer would have had all the access in the world to all of the, quote, health care, as you describe it, that she wanted. And Mr. Moran there just said, transgender female. What does that mean? Does that mean that it's a guy being a gal or a gal being a guy? Well, no, it's a woman who has apparently been the beneficiary of all of that so-called health care up until now. Which leads me to ask, how much testosterone had she received? What other sorts of medications was she taking? What sorts of surgeries had she been subjected to? You see the dance that is going on with the legacy news media hacks. They are so torn on this because they, we've been told, hate guns. But let me be clear on this. They don't hate guns. No, they really don't. They don't hate guns. They hate gun owners. They are totally okay with guns so long as the guns are being carried by members of the United States Secret Service or members of the United States Capitol Police or hired bodyguards. They do not hate guns. They hate lawful gun owners like you and like me. But they now have set in place these narratives where they want to make sure that you and I, lawful gun owners, cannot lawfully own guns. And at the same time, they're trying to push the, well, if you want to be a girl today and a boy tomorrow, that's perfectly okay. But now they're kind of stumped. Do they say, well, look at this. Isn't this wonderful? Because you heard the misplaced glee in the voice of some of these yahoos. Why, this is the first time, really, that we've seen a female mass killer. Like, that was some grand accomplishment. And those folks want to ignore the fact that that woman was receiving all of this medication, surgery, etc. to be a guy. And you don't hear, I haven't heard, the legacy news media folks talking about it being a guy, which is what they normally do. Anytime somebody stands up and says, no, my preferred pronouns are blank, 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 they always seize on that. So if she said she was a guy before she did this, wouldn't she have to be a guy? By the way, if you are going into a women's bathroom, JFK Airport can be problematic. I'll share with you the story out of there, and then we'll talk about a lot of other stuff. I promise you that. Now, Congressman Ralph Northam from South Carolina's 5th District is going to be with us. We'll talk about the budget. Man, we keep seeing the interest rates getting hiked. Biden inflation continues to rage. You and I are having difficulty meeting basic bills, are we not? And everybody just looking around going, oh, you got to turn that light off. No, we're not getting that. No, we're not going there. At the same time, this doddering fool in the White House is bragging about the ice cream he has in his fridge that sells for $12 a pint. $12 a pint. So we'll talk with Congressman Ralph Northam about the budget, Biden inflation, how it's impacting each and every one of us. If you want to get a little bit ahead of the curve, I'm going to remind you, I post everything on my social media, and I would love a follow. I know I don't have a kajillion people following me like Todd does, but that's okay. That's why I can always use a couple extra. If you're on Getter, look for The Jeff Cat Show on Getter, The Jeff Cat Show on Getter, The Jeff Cat Show over on Facebook, The Jeff Cat Show on Facebook, Twitter is Jeff Cat Show. And by the way, links to all of that, if you go to my website, hey, how about that? TheJeffCatShow.com. While you're online looking for TheJeffCatShow.com, please do what I do multiple times a day. Check in at ToddStarnes.com. ToddStarnes.com. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is The Todd Starnes Show. It's the Todd Starnes Show live from the Liberty University Studios. Jeff Katz sitting in for Todd today. We are all hoping and praying that Todd could be back later this week. I shared with you the details last Thursday. Todd just kind of felt a little under the weather. And it wasn't the common cold or allergies. It was serious enough that he's in the hospital, but not his heart. And he's being treated by a wonderful, wonderful, caring staff. And in fact, I'm noticing Todd posting on Facebook, so I'm sure that he is ignoring the advice of doctors to just rest. But as you know, most of us who are associated in one way or another with Todd or the Todd Starnes program are people of faith. And so I would personally ask you to join me. Just keep Todd in your thoughts and prayers as he gets through this and hopefully is back by the end of this week. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? It really would. I mean, his view of the world is unlike anyone else's. And for that, I am forever grateful. I really am. I mentioned this bizarre story out of a JFK. It's a huge airport. I flew through JFK last year for the big talk radio convention in New York. I'm actually getting some plans finalized to head up there this year for the big talk radio convention in New York. Looking forward to seeing Todd there. It should be a great time. But you fly, or at least I do, because I'm coming from Central Virginia, Richmond, flying into JFK. It's just a massive airport. For me, frankly, it's one of the reminders why I do not live in New York. Some fine people there, but I am real, real happy in Central Virginia, small town. Lots of my neighbors are cows or sheep or horses. But there was a guy, apparently, who came through the TSA line, and a TSA agent, was very upset that this guy who uses the name Mara was going into the ladies' bathroom. Well, because it would appear that Mara is actually a guy who, quote, identifies as a woman. All right. Now, according to Mara, the TSA agent, a female, followed Mara into the ladies' restroom and then screamed at Mara and berated Mara for being in the ladies' restroom because, well, Mara has a... Well, you know what Mara has, exactly. And I'm told, according to Mara, that the TSA agent then proceeded to punch Mara south of the Mason-Dixon line. And Mara apparently went into a stall to sob quietly, posted a photo, and also pointed out that hours later, his I won't use the slang, but his testicles were still aching. Well, I'm not in favor of anyone abusing anyone else. I'm not in favor of anyone hitting anyone else. Make no mistake about that. But you can examine this whole thing, can you not, and start taking pieces from it and say, but what about that? Mara, by the way, put this all over Twitter and said that humiliation was what was hitting him. He was humiliated by this. It seems bizarre, doesn't it, that we have reached a point in our country where some pretty basic things now are subject to discussion and debate and argument, and you just have to wonder, where's it all headed? At the same time, we're looking at an economy that is just in the tank. It's awful. And the delusional guy behind the curtain there keeps talking about his $12 per pint ice cream. Something ain't right with him, and something ain't right with the way this is going, right? Make sure you're with me on social media, please. The Jeff Katz Show over on Facebook. Give it a follow. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
indeed the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz sitting in for Todd today. We are live from the Liberty University studios. So much that you and I have to analyze and deal with. And tell you what, I am concerned with the survival of the nation as we've known it. I really am. I don't mean to sound over the top, but for goodness sakes, we are spending like nobody's business. For the life of me, I can't figure out what we're getting for the billions of dollars we're sending here or there or some other place. I've got this delusional guy in the White House who wants to lecture me about everything and then says, by the way, I got a fridge full of ice cream that costs $12 a pint. A pint. I've never in my life spent $12 for a pint of ice cream. And make no mistake, I love ice cream. But I got three kids. And we're dealing with the hamburger helper to try and make things go a little bit further. We're dealing with Bidenflation now that's just wreaking havoc on our budget personally. Anybody else thinking, whoa, wow, thought I was going to get to retire in blank number of years? And this guy seems to have screwed that up as well. Well, the good thing is we do have Republicans, we've got adults in control of the House of Representatives, and they've got to deal with budget issues. Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina's 5th District is one of those bright lights, one of those intelligent, thoughtful members of Congress, and I'm happy to say that he is joining us today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, thanks for being here.
Well, it's my honor. Glad to always be on your show.
Absolutely. So explain to us just what the heck is going on there in D.C. with the interest rate hikes and then the latest on the budget busting numbers.
Well, let me give you the bad news first. All of this spending, you know, this, we don't have an income problem in Washington, we've got a spending problem. That's the cancer. Mm-hmm. This administration wants to continue a deficit that we cannot maintain and maintain the solvency of America. Economic security is national security, and right now we don't have it. This is intentional. You know, you don't make this many mistakes. When an honest mistake is made, it goes both ways. With this administration, since day one that he took office, inflation took off. He discontinued the Keystone Pipeline. We were energy independent. We're now buying for enemies who don't like us. Mm-hmm. Crime in the streets, which he's promoted. And I could go on and on. But, you know, his recipe that he gave us when he finally presented his budget is to borrow $7 trillion, bringing us over $32 trillion. And when you count Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare and the Highway Trust Fund, I would argue we're in the 60s. And let me just give you, for your listeners, just a glimpse of what $1 trillion at 3% equates out to. It's $30 billion. $30 billion in just interest. And it's not something we can run away from. It's not something we can hide from. Now, let me tell you the good news. When the 20 of us basically told, balked on voting for McCarthy, who, you know, Speaker of the House is a powerful position. They determine who serves on what committees, what mm-hmm. bills come to the floor, and right. is third in line for president. One of the things that the reason we did that was because initially when we asked about a seven-year budget, balancing the budget 7 years, he said no. We said, when is it going to be? He said, 20 years. And that's when we bolted. That's when we said, enough's enough. The American people don't deserve this. And we're just going to hold out until we find somebody who will balance the budget and get us back on financial sanity. The good news is we had a press conference this morning. Freedom Caucus has put forth 504 amendments, which is cutting the budget deeply. And I will have to give Mr. McCarthy credit. He is doing what he said he would do, because we've got such a short runway to correct what's going on in this country. So bottom line, I'm encouraged with the direction we're going. Every dollar spent in D.C., though, has got an advocate, and it's going to be some fights. We got the debt ceiling showdown. We've got the budget itself, but we've got a core group of conservatives who are not going to take no for an answer. So stay tuned, and I think hopefully the public will like what they see.
You know, I don't mean to be distracted, but I'm still going back to the $30 billion in interest charges. I'm just trying to wrap my head around these numbers, Congressman. They're insane.
Not only is it insane, but, you know, when you ask, go down Main Street USA and ask any business owner or any family, how are things going for you?
Yeah.
What do you think about the price of gas? Is your business doing well? What about supply shortages of things? And no, the country's in tough shape, and it's all self-induced. It's self-induced by an administration that took over a booming economy back when President Trump was in office. But the good news is, I mean, it's like taking your car to a mechanic. He can tell you all the wrong things, but I think what Americans want to know is how you're going to fix it. The way you're going to fix it is what we're doing.
Okay.
And so is it going to make everybody happy? No. But we're starting the trajectory of less spending and a balanced budget. And if the president shuts this economy down, if the president causes America to default, it's going to be on him, because we're getting our budget out in a timely manner. And it's going to be for all Americans to see starting tomorrow.
Okay.
We told the press today we're going to file all our amendments today, and they can look and see if we're doing what we say we're doing, which we are.
Congressman Ralph Norman is joining us. Congressman Norman represents the 5th District in South Carolina. Now, you mentioned this is all self-inflicted. This is the other part of it, Congressman. I'm trying to figure out what is the motivation, what is the thought process behind Joe Biden and this ridiculous spending? Is there anything there that connects with, I don't know, me or you, any reasonable person saying you just can't keep spending more than you have?
You know, everybody asked me that, and the only answer that you can come up with is the fact that he's that stupid. I mean, he is not in control of his faculties. So there is a cabal running this country.
Right.
I think selling out to the Chinese is pretty evident on the decisions he's making.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and as an example, look at the uncontrollable border. That's being right. done, and we're on track to have 5 to 8 million illegals that we have no idea where they are. Are they terrorists? Are they going to do destruction for the country? You don't know. But that's just for power. That's just for votes.
Right.
And it's got to come to a stop. And so, luckily, we took the House back, but this upcoming election is going to be the most consequential election of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
If this man and his cabal that's running the country is allowed to stay in, America will not be the land of opportunity. It will be under the total domination of other powers that will not bode well for our children and grandchildren.
Congressman, that's exactly the concern many of us have. Many of us have lived a nice life, a good life, a blessed life. And our motivation, certainly inside my house for my wife and myself, is to give to our children a pretty good country, right? Not perfect. We all get this from our fathers and our mothers and our grandparents. And our job is to keep it kind of running down the road, make sure we take care of the dents here and there. You just don't take a hammer to this country. And that seems to be exactly what Biden and his handlers are dedicated to.
Well, they are, and you just don't. I mean, you don't do this to America, and you don't.
Right.
You don't do the things that he's doing. That you know is. I mean, a third grader can figure out that you can't spend more than you make.
Right.
Americans are struggling. I mean, I had a dental hygienist who does very well, cannot afford insulin for her daughter because of what this administration is doing with inflation. And it's not just the cost of one item, not just energy, it's everything.
That's
we haven't gotten a break. But we've got to stop it, and it starts with the budget. I think we will do that, and we will work on it because we're in power for the next 2 years anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I hope you stand tall. Keep fighting the good fight. There are a lot of us out here that may not live in your district, but believe me when I tell you, we appreciate the principled stand that some of the members of the House are taking these days. It is much appreciated.
Well, it's an honor to do it, and America's a great country, and we've got to protect it.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. That is Congressman Ralph Norman, represents the 5th District from South Carolina. So happy he could join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. This is why I said I don't know that we can survive the next 2 years of Joe Biden. And Congressman Norman put it out there, and I have to agree with him when he says this guy clearly is not in control of his own faculties. Right? Does anybody really believe that Joe Biden is even aware of what the heck he's saying half the time, let alone what's being done? You notice what I did there? I didn't say what he's doing. I said what's being done. Because I think he is, as I've described him, the presidential meat puppet. They move him around like set dressing on a theater stage. Oh, we need him to stand over here. What do you want him to do? We'd really like him to do nothing. Just stand there, don't say anything, don't do anything, don't sniff anybody. And he can't even do that. Wandering around rooms looking for exits. Now, it's one thing if you're in a strange place. You know, I get that. Maybe you're someplace you've never been in. It's like you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm not quite sure how I leave here. I think I came in over there, but you don't see the door. I'm willing to spot him that one. But when it's your house, it's your office, and we're told every day you're there doing, well, God knows what, but you're there. Doesn't make any sense, does it? I want to remind you about good friend Mike Lindell. You thought it couldn't get any better, right? No, seriously, you thought it couldn't get any better with MyPillow, and just when you thought that, Mike Lindell is in the process of launching MyPillow 2.0. You know, Mike invented MyPillow, and when he invented it, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. And now, nearly 20 years later, he's discovered a new technology that makes it even better. Yep. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature regulating thread. Oh, I love the sound of this. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, coolest pillow you will ever own. And for Todd Starn listeners exclusively, the MyPillow 2.0 is a buy one, get one free offer right now if you use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0, temperature regulating technology, 100% made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty, a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square to buy one, get one free. Enter promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 to get your MyPillow 2.0s now. Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Toda buena fiesta comienza con un buen outfit y tu próxima cita es con JCPenney, en donde encuentras de todo para cualquier ocasión. Ya sea elegante o casual, tenemos puro estilo para ti. Desde vestidos, trajes, colores y estampados, de marcas como Liz Claiborne, Worthington, Stafford y J. Ferrar. ¡Ay, no olvidemos Thereabouts para los chiquitos! Descubre lo último en la tienda o en jcp.com. Estilo de pies a cabeza para donde sea que vayas. JCPenney.
It's the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Katz in for Todd today. We have an update from Nashville. Well, let me rephrase that. Related to Nashville. You've heard the story. You and I have been talking about it. In fact, I mean, the entire nation has been talking about this for the last day or so, right? A gal who said she was a guy went into a Christian school in Nashville. Slaughter. I'm sorry, that's the only way that I can describe it. I'm going to use the term, whether it's uncomfortable for people or not. It was a slaughter. Slaughtered three little kids, slaughtered three adults, And then she herself was killed. Good. Am I supposed to celebrate that? No. We're not supposed to celebrate that. But, I am simply a flawed human being. I'd like to be better. Lord knows I am a work in progress. Let me tell you. Some of us had a lot more work God needed to do and needs to do. So there is a part of me that says, God, I'm glad that the person who killed these innocent children, who killed these innocent teachers, herself lost her life. I wish I didn't feel that way. I wish you didn't have to even think about it. But there is a radical transgender group I was blissfully unaware of before today, seeing these tweets. Todd has a full story posted. If you go to toddstarns.com, the Trans Resistance Network has issued a lengthy statement calling Audrey Hale, that's the killer, calling her a victim of the shooting at the private Christian school. They released this statement, and Andy Ngo, who's a pretty solid reporter, got it and sent it out on Twitter. The Trans Resistant Network is outraged that the media, the legacy news media in particular, will not use Audrey Hale's chosen name of Aiden or her chosen pronouns, which are he and him. Does this not make you sick to your stomach? This group says the second and more complex tragedy is that Aiden, or Aubrey Hale, who felt he had no other effective way to be seen than to lash out by taking the life of others and by consequence, himself. We do not claim to know the individual or have access to their inner thoughts and feelings. We do know that life for transgender people is very difficult and made more difficult. Wow. Wow. I am not looking to eradicate anybody because that's what they accuse conservatives of. I'm simply asking that we acknowledge realities in this world. I would ask that you follow the science. Right? Didn't we hear that for a long time? And then it was discovered that, well, I guess that doesn't matter now. This was a brutal killing in Nashville. And the questions that have to be asked relate to the medication, the testosterone, the hormones given to this young lady. What sort of an effect did they have on her? We have to pay attention to the media now in a frenzy trying to figure out, do they continue pushing a transgender agenda or do they continue pushing their gun owner hating agenda? They're confused. And will Donald Trump really be arrested? The smartest lawyer on God's green earth, former federal prosecutor Joe Moreno, joins us in a moment. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. It's the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for Todd. I am just pinch hitting for Todd. Todd on the mend. Last Thursday felt, kind of under the weather, needed to get some stuff taken care of. And look, it wasn't just allergies. You know, that's always my go-to answer these days for those of us that live in the Mid-South, right? It's always allergies. Well, Todd's was a little more serious, but he's in the hospital. He is definitely on the mend. You can see if you're following him on Facebook, especially, man. He's just doing what he always does, working overtime, ignoring doctors. Todd, please stop that. But God willing, he's going to be back here, believe it or not, hopefully later this week. So, I'm a Todd Starnes fan, as you know. And I am certainly looking forward to getting Todd back where he belongs. All of that being said, I want to know what's going on with former President Donald Trump. You remember, is it like a week ago, he said, hey, I'm going to get arrested. And then nothing. And I don't hear anything out of New York, and I don't know what's going on. And the feds, or at least Congress, says, hey, we want this Alvin Bragg character to come down here, testify before us. And Bragg, he saluted, it seemed, but he didn't use all of his fingers. So I don't know exactly what is or is not going on. And there is one guy whose opinion I trust and value. My opinion, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, former federal prosecutor who just understands all of this inside and out, and that is my friend Joe Moreno. Joe, thank you for being here.
Jeff, how are you? Pleasure.
I am well, but I got to be honest with you, counselor. I'm confused. I was promised an arrest, and I don't see anything in the offing. Do you?
No, Jeff. I got to be honest. I never did. I always thought this was a lot of theater and a way to sort of keep Donald Trump in the news in a negative way. I feel like the left really likes this theme that the walls are always closing in and Donald Trump is always just around the corner. There's some kind of serious trouble for him. And he doesn't do himself a lot of favors when he seizes the reins. But I guess he likes to get in front of something, right? He never wants to be caught, you know, on his back foot. So I kind of get why he's doing that. But look, I think, you know, for a lot of us, we expect a lot of drama from our political leaders, right? Whether it's Congress, whether it's committees, whether it's state-level politicians, we expect a certain amount of going before the cameras and, you know, a certain degree of unseriousness. But we hope that doesn't infect the legal process. And I think that seems like that's what's happening now. That's like the legal process is being used as a political weapon. And that's bothersome to a lot of us who really want to see that process independent and clean and going after criminals based on if there were crimes committed, not if they're a political enemy.
All right. So we know that, as you point out, Joe, the left is forever saying, oh, now we've got him. It's like, what's his name? Inspector Clouseau. Now I got him. Now is the time. And we've been through this. This matter itself that allegedly Donald Trump is going to be indicted for or arrested for or what have you happened, what, 6-7 years ago? And you tell me, wasn't it a federal matter? And what did the U.S. attorney, the DOJ, think of it?
So, Jeff, I'll caveat this by saying, you know, based on what we know, right? Because almost all of this is sort of what's been reported in the news through leaks and innuendo, but very little is official. So that being said, what we think we know is the theory being pushed by District Attorney in New York City, Alvin Bragg, is that Donald Trump used personal funds, not campaign funds, right? Not donations, but his own money in order to effectuate a non-disclosure agreement with Stormy Daniels, right? The porn actress, right?
Yes.
Now an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, is perfectly legal. You can pay someone to not say something about you, and that's fine. What Alvin Bragg's theory appears to be is that the money was paid to Michael Cohen, Mr. Trump's attorney at the time. Mm-hmm. It was booked in the Trump Organization's records as legal fees, but instead it was a de facto campaign contribution because it was just days before the election. And again, mind you, it's personal money, Donald Trump's own money.
Right.
But the theory is that it was a disguised self-contribution to his campaign, and that could be argued as a federal campaign finance violation. It's really, really a cobbled together, I think, extremely weak legal theory, if that's in fact what we're talking about here.
And I am not a learned attorney, Joe, but wouldn't that kind of be what's referred to as a process crime?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the books and records part of this is a misdemeanor.
Okay.
It's 2 years statute of limitations, and 2 years is long gone. As you said,
yes.
This is going on 7 years ago. In order to make it a felony, that's where the coupling with the campaign finance theory comes in, because you have to argue that the accounting violation was to cover up another crime. Now, that's got a five-year statute of limitations, and okay, well, 5 years has gone by, right? It's been 7 years, so how do you get over that?
Yeah.
Unclear. And you asked earlier, had other offices passed on this case? Yes. Federal prosecutors, and again, if there was a campaign finance violation, that would be a federal crime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Federal prosecutors in New York City apparently looked at this and passed on it. The Federal Election Commission, whose job it is to police campaign contributions, they apparently looked at this and passed on it. So now you have Alvin Bragg, 7 years later, a state-level prosecutor trying to grab federal campaign finance violations in his theory of his crime. It's, to call it a stretch is giving it way too much credit.
Joe Moreto is joining us, and Joe is a former federal prosecutor. Some pretty heavy matters that you have handled through the years, Joe. I know you don't like to brag about yourself, but you really have, right?
I was very fortunate, Jeff, to serve at the National Security Division down here in Washington, D.C., at the Justice Department.
Yeah.
We worked on the Metro Bomber case. We worked on a case out in Kansas City regarding domestic terrorists. So, yeah, we had some really interesting cases, and I got to work with some fantastic men and women at the FBI, Justice Department, even the intelligence community.
So let me ask you this, based on your experience, and again, you're trying to paint for us a picture of this legal theory that, and again, we're all sort of punching in the dark here. Nobody really knows anything about anything, but this legal theory that allegedly the district attorney up in New York County in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, is advancing here. Do you want to lay odds? Does an indictment really come out of this?
I don't think so, Jeff. And it's not because I think, you know, Alvin Bragg and the left don't want to bring a prosecution. I think they very much want to be the first prosecutors against a former president.
Yes.
I think, though, Alvin Bragg is a savvy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And from the left's perspective, the only thing worse than not bringing a case is bringing a case that fails, either because the legal theory is so weak that it's thrown out,
mm-hmm.
or because you can't convince a jury to actually convict. So
wow.
I think this is a weak case. I think the more it's kicked around by objective observers, it seems even weaker.
Yeah.
So I think this is to keep Donald Trump in the headlines in a negative way.
Mm.
I think just long enough in the hopes that perhaps one of these other cases that's bubbling under the surface might come forward and grab him, so Alvin Bragg can kind of step back.
I don't know. I am just, honest to goodness, I don't care whether people are pro-Donald Trump or anti-Donald Trump. You just have to think people are tired of being told by the leftist, aha, this is the one. No, seriously, I know we were wrong 87 times before, but this is it. I swear to you, this is it. And then it's like, no, there's nothing there. I mean, it just... This is, I believe, that entire Trump derangement syndrome. They hate him with such passion, they can't believe that he might not have committed a crime.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I mean, putting on my political hat, I think that just makes Donald Trump stronger.
I think
the more that the left seems to rant and rage and say that they've got him and he's a criminal and, you know, they've almost got him and all that, and every time he walks away from whether it's an impeachment, whether it's a pretend investigation, I think that just strengthens him. I think the best thing they could do is focus on the crimes perhaps in their own jurisdictions. I mean, I hear New York City is quite the mess these days. Stop going after Donald Trump for silly things. If they have a real case, I'll be the first one to say, you know what, bring it.
Yeah.
Bring a real case. If you think you've really got a criminal investigation, pursue it and bring it.
Yeah.
But keeping these investigations going for months and years, when most of us know they're not going anywhere, I think it's a real disservice.
I agree with you. I think it's a danger to even be kicking this around. If it ever did happen, would Donald Trump actually be the first former president to face charges?
He would. I mean, in our country's 200-year history, no current or former president has ever been charged criminally with anything. So, yes, he would. And it would be a milestone. It would be a bad milestone, but it would be one.
Yeah, I just listen. I'm with you. I take obviously my legal insight from you, and my political sense is just like yours. That the leftists are just so far out there, and they have such hatred for him. They just want to keep talking about it. And if I'm Donald Trump, I got news for you. I think it's great. By all means, threaten that you're going to, perp walk me through Manhattan, man. Let's start in the Bronx. Let's get as much coverage for this as we possibly can.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, again, it's his nature to want to grab these cases and run with them. So he's not going to be a shrinking violet, right? He's not going to sit and wait for himself to get charged. He's going to grab it and run with it.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's not good for any of us. And again, if prosecutors want to get serious, prosecute crimes in your own jurisdiction. Stay in your own lane. We'll all be a lot better off.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I always appreciate you joining my friend. That is Joe Moreno. I describe Joe as the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, and that's mainly because he is the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. Joe is just a tremendous legal mind, former federal prosecutor. He's a lawyer in England and in Wales, in addition to the United States. He's argued some of the biggest cases, brought some of the biggest prosecutions throughout history, and just a rock solid guy. And I should point out, a father of just an amazing family, a beautiful family with nine wonderful children. He's a great, great guy. Joe Moreno. Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. It's the Todd Starn Show. Broadcasting live from the Liberty University Studios, Jeff Katz in for Todd. Thanks again to Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line moments ago. Kind of give us the lay of the land with this situation in New York. I mean, they're still talking about a possible arrest of former President Trump or an indictment of former President Trump. I think it's more of the same nonsense. I really, really do. 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. Charles, very patient, listening to us on WSIC in North Carolina. Charles, welcome to the Todd Starn Show.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Jeff, I wanted to just kind of expand on what you were asking earlier. Do we have two more years left?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're fast getting to the point of no return, where you're passing the midway point. You're not going to have enough gas to get back. And I think, whoever the Republican nominee is, we're going to have to win in a landslide, and it's going to take all Republican votes, independent votes. But it's going to take a lot of Democratic votes, which is the reason for my call.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, I want to know, when do you think, and who's going to be the first Democrat to step up and say to Joe Biden that we've been duped and then turn against him? And let me tell you what I mean.
Okay.
I remember in 1974, my dad was a big Richard Nixon supporter. Mm-hmm. Nixon won a landslide election in 72. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, he resigned. And my dad said, son, once a person lies to you once, they're going to lie to you again.
Sure.
Fast forward, in 2000, I voted for George Bush.
Okay.
2004, I completely turned against him because I was honest enough to see that he had become nothing more than a Republican version of Lyndon Johnson. And in 2004, I voted for the Libertarian.
Okay.
I saw the disappointment in John McCain, which is why I later became a Trump supporter.
Okay.
If you're a Democrat, right now, everything that you've been told about Donald Trump, Russian collusion, Ukrainian phone call, you name it, it's all been a lie.
Yep.
And everything that you've been told Joe Biden didn't do has all turned out to be true.
We've got
voicemails. We've got emails. We now have financial records that he's compromised with China.
Yeah.
We now know that the Steele dossier was fake, that the FBI interfered in the election. So if you based your decision to vote for Joe Biden based on certain information, and you formed an opinion of Donald Trump based on certain information, and that information has all turned out to be lies.
Yep.
When are you going to say enough? Are you going to say enough, or are you so stuck and married to your party and your ideology that you're not even going to believe your own eyes or listen to your own ears or listen to your gut? What's your thoughts about that?
Well, Charles, that is it's a series of great questions. I can tell you the first prominent Democrat to sort of fire a shot over the bow of Joe Biden was Virginia Senator Mark Warner the other day, who was talking about the records that have been recovered from the Biden residences. Now, it's not the same as pointing out, hey, your daughter-in-law was getting money from China. We got a problem with that. But the very fact that a sitting U.S. senator, a lifetime Democrat, was willing to say anything at all about Biden and this indicates to me that there are folks certainly behind the scenes on the part of the Democrats who are asking some of these questions. Obviously, Joe Manchin, who, you know, is a Democrat, isn't a Democrat, sort of, a, you know, whatever it is, he is certainly out there asking these questions. The problem that we're going to have, Charles, is that the most extreme elements, in my opinion, are now in charge of the Democrat Party. These are the folks who want to tell you that if you're a boy, you can be a girl and one day a week, or a girl and you can be a boy. And they're doing everything to distract you and distract me and distract their own party members from the fact that Joe Biden has cratered the economy. Joe Biden has made us an international laughingstock, that the Democrats seem okay with borrowing money from China to give it to Ukraine without any sort of a strategy involving that. So I'd love to tell you that it happens tomorrow at 6 a.m., but I think we unfortunately are a long way from there. Charles, thank you for the call. Thank you so much. Remind everybody, got all these details up. Follow The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook, if you don't mind. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook and Jeff Katz Show over on Getter and on Twitter. Jeff in for Todd. This is The Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Todd Starnes Show, broadcasting live from the Liberty University studios. Todd is under the weather. I've shared with you what's going on. Last Thursday during the show, Todd didn't feel well. Went to the doctor. It's not allergies, which every one of us, honest to goodness, every one of us in the Mid South or the Mid Atlantic, right about now, it's probably allergies, because if you look at our cars right now, they're covered in pollen, right? Just this yellow green. It looks almost like snow, but that's not it. Todd had something a little more serious. That's the bad news. The good news is absolutely positively getting world-class care in the hospital, getting better every single day, and we are hoping that he'll be back actually behind this microphone later this week, which would be phenomenal. Absolutely would love for that to happen. So we'll certainly keep you updated on that, and if you're like me, you'll keep Todd in your thoughts and your prayers that he makes a complete, total, speedy recovery and gets back to doing what it is that he is supposed to do. I am an ex-cop. Now, it's 1,000 years ago in a galaxy far, far away. For a couple of minutes, I pushed a police car around and I saw some things and did some things. And like I said, it's been a long time. But I got to tell you, I still bleed blue. I care about the men and the women who go out there every single day and do the job. It is a difficult job at best. It's a terrible job at times. But we still do have some folks who say, yeah, that's what I want to do. The problem seems to be the support network? Are members of the community supporting law enforcement? Do we have prosecutors who are actually prosecuting crimes? I think we got a whole slew of these George Soros finance prosecutors around America, whether it's Larry Krasner in Philadelphia or Chesa Boudin out in San Francisco or Gascon in L.A., the woman in Chicago, up in New York, man. We're all hearing about Alvin Bragg, right? He's a good, upstanding George Soros-financed pseudo-prosecutor. Nobody knows what's happening to law enforcement and what's happening with crime better than Jimmy Galliano. Jimmy, graduate of West Point, served with distinction in the FBI, retired from the FBI as a supervisory special agent. You see him all the time, whether it's on Fox News or CBS television news, analyzing law enforcement situations. You read him in the New York Post, and I'm just always thrilled when he's got a couple of moments for us. Jimmy, thank you so much for being here.
Jeff, good to join you. I'm sorry to hear about Todd being under the weather, but I'm happy that that you're doing well and that I get a chance to join you again. It's always a pleasure.
The pleasure is always mine. And before we dive into all of that, can I point something out for the record, my dear friend? As we speak, the Boston Red Sox are leading the Atlanta Braves 3-1 during a spring training game.
Jeff, that is very astute of you to point that out. Might I also point out that the Atlanta Braves once won a world championship as the Boston Braves in 1914. But let's not let that complicate our relationship.
All right. Well, I will leave it at that. But what do you think? Are your Braves going to be able to stand up through 100-plus games this season and make a mark?
Man, I think the biggest thing this year, Jeff, with baseball is like all these new rules changes. I mean, the bases are bigger. The pitchers have to get the ball to the plate in a prescribed amount of time now. I think it's going to be interesting. Baseball is one of those sports that resists change more than any other sport. And to see this happen this year, these are relatively consequential and monumental changes. Jeff, it's going to be interesting, but I'm sure people 50 years ago said the same thing when the American League decided to start with the designated hitter. So maybe us old guys, us purists, just need to come around.
Well, it is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to an exciting season, and as you know, I'm a Red Sox fan because I'm married into a Red Sox family, and I like sleeping in the big bed. So, I mean, I do what I'm told to do. All of that being said, my friend, there are a lot of people who are hearing about this Alvin Bragg character in Manhattan that don't live in Manhattan, never visited New York City, but man, he is front and center. What's the real story with him?
So, Jeff, let me give you the political angle on this first, and then we'll bring it back around to the to speaking about the law enforcement and the prosecutorial piece of this.
Okay.
First of all, Alvin Bragg, the Republicans should put a monument up to him, because without him, the GOP does not take the House back this year. And here's how they took back the House. Lee Zeldin did such a wonderful job in New York State of running a great campaign against Kathy Hochul, who was the sitting governor at the time. And he came within a whisker for a Republican in New York, which I will argue is a basically red state of New York City, Westchester County, and Buffalo, Rochester, Albany, and some of the upstate cities. Mm-hmm. And he did a great job, and he helped carry along some of those congressional races. Do you know what his number one position was that he ran on his platform? Mm-mm. His day one edict was, I will remove Alvin Bragg from the position of district attorney of Manhattan. And, wow. And that galvanized people, because I think they looked at that as a microcosm of everything that is wrong, Jeff, with the progressive prosecutor movement. People that are the people's prosecutor, they're supposed to be looking out for all of us. And unfortunately, Jeff, as you've seen far too often, your home state now, Virginia, you've seen far too often prosecutors like Alvin Bragg are coddling criminals, and they're just contributing exponentially to the rise in crime that we see going on across the nation.
Wow. Jimmy Galliano joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Jimmy, when we look at the lack of prosecution, if I understand it correctly, first of all, New York State said no cash bail, and it seems to me that Bragg and some of these other guys have essentially said, yeah, we just can't be bothered prosecuting anything at this point. Am I reading this wrong?
Yeah, look, Jeff, there is something that is part of our judicial system, and you and I have talked about this now for a number of years. Mm-hmm. There are no perfect judicial systems across the globe, but America has probably the best in the world. And one of the things that we pride ourselves on is the fact that we appoint people on the prosecutorial side who are good and decent and honorable people. They are defending the people, if mm-hmm. you will. Mm-hmm. And also we afford them something called prosecutorial discretion, which means they have the right to say whether or not a case is going to be brought forward. Well, look, you know, we've argued this over the decades in regards to should this case be brought to court or brought to trial or not. What Alvin right. Bragg has done is just thrown away the playbook. And he's basically said, look, if you go into a store and you steal something and it's below X amount of dollars, we're just not going to prosecute that. And if you're pulled over by the police and you struggle violently, you resist arrest, we're not going to charge you with resisting arrest. We're just going to look at the serious crimes, in quotation marks, like rape and murder and assault and things like that. Well, what that does, it's the reverse of what happened in the early 90s, where you had people like Bill Bratton, and you had people mm-hmm. like Ray Kelly, the police chiefs, the police commissioners in New York City, that said, if you allow the quality of life crimes to proliferate, it creates an environment and a climate, if you will, where that allows violent crime to then, you know, manifest itself. And unfortunately, the pendulum's going to have to swing further in this leftward direction before people, Jeff, the sane people in this world, say, this is enough. We're not going to allow this to happen. We're not going to elect these people. And if they are put into these positions, we're going to fight to have them removed.
Wow. It's incredible to me that anybody would even sign up for any law enforcement post today. Are you seeing just a mass exodus up there in New York?
Yeah, I think the two toughest things right now with the New York City Police Department, and you know, this is a police department that I work closely with over my 25 years in the FBI. It is a majority-minority police department. And Jeff, I've studied the statistics. You know, I'm looking at this at St. John's University as part of my doctoral pursuit. It is the most restrained police department in the world and one of the oldest, and it's got 36,000 cops. It is a bastion of good policing. But mm-hmm. you know what the problem is now? Because of the demonization, the defund the police kooks and the folks that want to reimagine public safety, the biggest problem that the NYPD is having right now, and this is a microcosm across police departments across the nation, is recruitment and retention. Who the heck wants to come onto the job right now and deal with the abuse that you have to deal with now? And Jeff, that's a problem, because if you can't attract good people, what are you left with? You're left with people that shouldn't be cops. And that's going to be a difficult thing as we go forward, because standards are being lowered. So if you want better policing, but you demonize the policing profession, good luck getting good people to apply to become a cop.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw that not too long ago, the situation in Memphis, where we were told, hey, these guys were hired as a result of lower standards. You talked about good cops, how difficult it is, Jimmy. You sit on the board of directors of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. I'm sorry that an organization as great as it is even has to exist, but it does. And I just want you to share with Todd Starnes' national listeners here, what exactly is the LELDF? What do they do, and can they step up and support it?
So the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, Jeff, is an organization, it's an advocacy organization and an educational organization regarding the policing profession. I think one of the most important things that the organization does is we provide material support, financial support for the legal expenses for unjustly or unjustifiably accused police officers. So whether you're a cop or a trooper or an agent, if you are unjustly accused of a crime, the organization will take a look at your case. And if it meets muster, meaning the board of directors of which I sit on determines that this is a case that we should support, we do that. We not only take care of the legal funds, we also take care of the families, because in many instances, police officers could be suspended without pay or fired. And our job is to support those who are unjustly accused of a crime. And Jeff, your listeners and Todd's listeners can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org. And the organization will allow you to make donations to a particular case that you read about and you might have some investment in or feel like this is the case that you want to support. But Jeff, you've been great. You always support us. You're always pro cop, and I think it's because you do. I think if somebody nicked you and you started to bleed, they'd understand that you had blue blood in you. So we appreciate all your support over the years.
Well, thank you, my friend. That is Jimmy Galliano. Jimmy, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, 25-plus years of dedicated, honorable, noteworthy service, continues to serve policedefense.org. Check out the website. I'll get it up on all my social media just to be sure nobody misses it. Facebook, look for The Jeff Katz Show. Would you give me a follow over on Facebook? I'd appreciate it. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook and Twitter, Jeff Katz Show. I'll get the link up in both places. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is The Todd Starnes Show. It's the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz in for Todd today. Have you been following at all what's going on in, you know, the nation? I mean, are you otherwise occupied? Like, I'm always concerned, but people go, oh, yeah, I didn't hear about that. And, I mean, there are things I don't hear about. And then I think, well, you, look, Jeff, this is sort of your job. You got to pay attention to stuff. You're looking at things that a lot of other people, you know, in the real world, normal world, don't think about. But then it comes, for me anyway, comes back to dollars and cents, right? Comes back to the kids. Can your kids do blank? Are you able to help them get a new car? Can you help them get a mortgage on a house? Can you help them find a job? I mean, these are things that I suppose in the past have been relatively easy to handle. I can certainly remember, as a relatively young guy, I had a job. I had what I thought was a pretty good job. But I didn't really have any credit. So I got my dad to co-sign on a loan for a car. Really, no harm, no foul. I mean, my dad looked at it and said, well, all right, you've saved money. You've got a job. You can pay for it. You understand you're going to pay for it. You understand that there are different fees that are involved. There's license and insurance and all of that stuff. You've got that, right? Yeah. And you still want to do this? Yeah. And he said, okay, I'll go along on that. Of course, it was at a time when even a new car was reasonably priced. I mean, you can't just compare dollars to dollar, right? Dollar to dollar. Well, it was $10,000 then. Now it's $55,000, which is, in fact, what it is. You kind of put it together with how many hours do you have to work? How many weeks? How many years do you have to work to amass a down payment on a home or to be able to pay for a car? That's really how you have to look at expenses like that, the big picture expenses. It is vastly more difficult today to purchase a car, new or used, than it was 30 years ago. It's not just the difference in price. It's how long it will take you to get to that particular mark. My oldest boy, student at Stanford, brilliant kid. Oh, absolutely brilliant, but not really well versed in the real world, I think. You know, it's all been academia. But he's saying, well, you know, I'm looking at a couple of jobs over the summer, and I'm really gonna need a car, and well, what do you think? What do you mean, what do I think? But what do you think? Well, I think, number one, I'm not buying you a car. Period. End of story. You have money? You have a job? You got money? You're working? You have money? I'll help you any way that I can. But your college tuition is already sky high. I've been helping you with that, remember? And your younger brother is going to be going to college next year. I got to help him as well. So I am more than willing to help, but I'm not buying a car for anyone, including myself, which is why our two cars are from the early 2000s, right? Is what it is. Welcome to the real world. It does not include $12 per pint ice cream. Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Todd Starnes Show, Jeff Katz in for Todd. Today we have so much that we have been dealing with. I just mentioned a couple of moments ago, sometimes I think that we get laser beam focused on some of the political stuff in a way that maybe doesn't impact us. Right, we're talking about this bill or that bill or that bill or this bill and did we do this? And then I think, you know, what it all comes back to, when all is said and done, is your family, your house. What are you doing and how can you do it? Are you able to do the things you want to do? I am in a situation right now. I just have to tell you, I've been doing this goofy talk radio stuff for about 30 years. And I'm pretty good at it. Okay. And I really love being on the radio, but I think to myself, as I get older, there's always more stuff that I want to do. I think about the obligations that I have, and they're not just financial. Yes, there are many of us who say, oh, I got to pay for this, I got to buy that. Believe me, I got that. As I said, my oldest boy at Stanford. Now, he's finishing up his junior year. He's got one more year there, and from the sounds of it, then he's going on to some sort of graduate school. But I made very clear to him, you know, graduate college, I'm not checking out, but I'm checking out. Don't look to me to foot the bill for other stuff. Now, if you want to go and you want to go on to law school, God bless you. But you're going to have to figure out how you can do it. I think that's what happens when you're an adult. My youngest guy is finishing up his senior year in high school. So another, almost April, another 2 months or so, he'll be done. And then he's going to go off to college. He got accepted to the school that he tells me is his first choice. Fantastic. Of course, it's out of state, which means it'll be more expensive, but it is what it is. Now, he wants to major in psychology. He wants to go and he wants to help people. He's that sort of a kid. He's always been wired that way. And I think he'll do great in that profession. My daughter, Julia just turned 20 years old. So she's 20 years old chronologically, but developmentally, Julia's about 18 months old, and she always will be. Julia will always be my little baby, no matter how big she might be. And Julia is going to be with us as long as we're around, and then we need to make sure that we're taking care of Julia, even though we're not around anymore. So that's our situation. So the idea of brand new cars, it's not really high up on the list. We've got cars that work. I'm happy with them. I am blessed in a marvelous way. One of my best friends happens to own an auto repair shop where I live, and he's family. You know what I mean? So we look out for each other and take care of each other and everything like that. So that's good stuff. I mean, that's the way life is supposed to be, I think. And then you try and figure out, well, what's your ultimate purpose, right? Self-actualization. Did you ever hear that phrase? Familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Real low on the level, man, is it's shelter, it's clothing, it's food. And then really high up, the last step is something called self-actualization. That's where you discover, this is what I was meant to do. This is something I should do. Okay. Some of us are fortunate enough to get to that point. Some of us do it professionally. Others do something professionally and then say, well, that gives me the ability to do this other thing. Like, I sit here and I'm thinking about the investments I've made in myself over the last year or so. I love coaching people and speaking and training and stuff like that. I said, well, now how do I do that? How do I help other people in that regard? So I actually, as crazy as it sounds, one of my idols, Zig Ziglar, who passed away many years ago, his family continued his business. It's his legacy. And they actually take people from around America and say, you know, we believe in you. We believe you could do some of the things that Zig did. Now, nobody is under any delusion that they're going to be Zig Ziglar. But the idea of coaching and training and speaking, yeah, we can help you out with that. So back in October, I completed my work there. I went down to Dallas, Texas and earned, I mean, I earned Ziglar Legacy Certification. So I can go out and do that. And just about 2 weeks ago, I was down in Orlando, Florida. And I wasn't down there to go to any of the parks. I wasn't looking for amusement rides or anything like that. No, I was there to finish up with very long days in very expansive classrooms, really. My training with John Maxwell. Maxwell Leadership Team. And I came through. It took me about 2 years to finish all of that work. And then a couple of weeks ago in Orlando was the final stop, if you will. And received my certification there. So I've got these two wonderful tools. And I want to utilize them to help others. But at the same time, I've still got to buy groceries. And you've got to buy groceries. And you'd like to think that people in positions of responsibility understand all of that. And it seems to me that they don't. I'm going to give you one example. No, I'm going to give you two examples. Remember Nancy Pelosi? Used to be the Speaker of the House, San Fran Nan. You remember she did that television piece? I guess it was during the whole COVID theater thing. And she showed somebody her freezer with all of the ice cream. Remember this? And talked about how she loves to eat ice cream and she eats ice cream and her husband eats ice cream and everybody eats ice cream. We have, in fact, she said, she had an entire freezer, a separate freezer just for the ice cream. Now, I don't know about you. I like ice cream. I like ice cream a lot. And so I'm looking, number one, at the freezer. I thought to myself, how much does that freezer cost? I went online. I did some appliance shopping. The freezer itself, if I recall, and I could be off because it's been a couple of years, but if memory serves, wasn't it like $10,000, $15,000 just for that freezer? Special freezer just for the ice cream? And then everybody pointing out, well, it's something called Jenny's Ice Cream. And Jenny's Ice Cream sells, depending on where you are, apparently between $12 and $20 for a pint. I thought, man, that's got to be some good ice cream. But Nancy Pelosi just wanted us to know, she was just like everybody else, just enjoying ice cream. And guess what? Guess what? In addition to that, we now have Joe Biden telling us about ice cream. Now, we know if you follow Joe Biden, our presidential meat puppet, for any period of time, the White House hobgoblin just loves him some ice cream. I mean, he likes ice cream almost as much as he likes sniffing the hair of little girls that are standing around him. You know what I mean? He likes ice cream. So he wants to tell us a little bit about his ice cream. Can we take a listen to cut number five, please?
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs.
Mm-hmm. So, he's got a whole refrigerator full of Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. Now, I happen to love chocolate chip ice cream. In fact, that is my favorite flavor, chocolate chip ice cream. Number two on the list is mint chocolate chip. Number three on the list is anything that sat next to chocolate chip or mint chocolate chip. And I love the fact that the president of the United States loves the same sort of ice cream as I do. But here's the problem that I have. I can't afford Jenny's ice cream, can you? Can you afford $12 for a pint of ice cream? Because I can't. And I'm very happy to say I'm not poor. I'm solidly middle class. I work for a living. Now, I've got a goofy job. I will grant you that. It's a weird job, but it's still a job. And I work, and I make money, and I pay the bills. And I make sure that the electric is turned on and the water is running. I make sure that everybody has food and clothing. And I try my best to make sure that we all get some sort of a treat here or there, something nice, something different. But I can't afford $12 for a pint of ice cream. In fact, I don't know anyone who would spend $12 on a pint of ice cream. These people are so far removed from the real world. They are so disconnected from what you and I go through every single day. Don't let them beat you down. I'm just telling you flat out, every time you hear one of these left-wingers tell you about, oh, we're all about the working people. Ask them how they're able to buy that $12 per pint ice cream. Now, I have to tell you something else. About 2 years ago, yeah, right after the whole Nancy Pelosi thing, one of my wife's relatives, for a Christmas gift, sent us a container with Jenny's ice cream in there. And I guess there were a half a dozen of them in there, or maybe eight or ten. I don't really remember. And it was okay. But I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't give you more than whatever a regular pint of ice cream cost at the store. It wasn't that good. So why would you buy it? Because it's a status thing. Because it's a kick in the shins. Because it's Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi telling me, oh, yeah, we care about real working people, but take a look at this ice cream, $12 a pint. Better than you are. Do me a favor, and it is a favor. I'd love for you to follow me over on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show. Would you give me a follow over there, please? The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Twitter, the same thing. I send stuff out here and there and everywhere. Jeff Katz Show on Twitter. I know I should make everything the same. Todd is far smarter than I am and has everything organized the way it should, but I'm all over the place. So Twitter is Jeff Katz Show. Facebook is The Jeff Katz Show. The website is The Jeff Katz Show. .com. Okay? And while you're online doing your digital stuff, do yourself a favor. Make sure that you are checking out toddstarns.com. My friend Todd does such an amazing job, not just on the air. He's one of the most brilliant writers I have ever had the pleasure to read. I mean, I love his work. And you will find that in all of the news, everything we talk about, everything he talks about, toddstarns.com, toddstarns.com. And like I said, while you're there, give me a follow on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show, on Twitter, Jeff Katz Show. And if you want, check out my website. By all means, get yourself a mug or a shirt or whatever. TheJeffKatzShow.com. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is The Todd Starnes Show. It's the Todd Starn Show, broadcasting live from the Liberty University Studios. Jeff Katz in for Todd. Thanks again to my dear friend Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. He joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line a couple of moments ago. I think just such tremendous insight on what we're facing in terms of crime. I know a lot of folks are focused on Nashville, as we should be. But there's so much more to that story, and you can see completely and totally, if you ever had any questions about the legacy news media hacks, these water carriers for left-wing agenda items that have been deployed to newsrooms around America, let me tell you something. You're seeing it up close and personal right now. Are they telling you everything that happened in Nashville? Doesn't seem like they are. Are they dealing with all of the underlying issues? No. And then you have to ask yourself, well, why or why not? You tell me. You tell me. Let me give you just a little snippet here. And this, of course, is being ignored. This is the chief of police in Nashville. Cut number 14, please.
She does identify as transgender. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, the shooter is a young woman, like 27, 28 years old. Oh, but she said she was a guy. Oh, she identifies. Well, what does that mean? Identifies. In this case, it would appear as if she's been undergoing medical treatment. I hate to use the word treatment because, there's got to be another word. And I can't think of it. Maybe Todd, who is far smarter than I am, has a better word, a different word. But she's been receiving, apparently, massive amounts of hormones, testosterone, because she says, well, I'm really a guy. And then you have the so-called self-proclaimed real reporters and serious journalists say, well, you know, this is a breakthrough, a female mass killer, as if that's something to be proud of. But I thought we were always supposed to use whatever the, quote, preferred pronouns were of folks. So if in fact, she was telling us, oh, yeah, she was really a man, shouldn't we be referring to her as a man? It's an interesting time to watch these legacy news media types because they've got two conflicting agenda items right now, and they cannot figure out which way they're supposed to go. Do they continue with their anti-gun owner agenda? And please remember that they're not anti-gun. They're anti-gun owner. They are anti-private ownership of firearms. They are perfectly and totally okay if guns are being employed to protect them. They've got no problem with that. The problem they have is when you decide you're going to have a firearm, you're going to exercise your rights as affirmed in the Second Amendment. Remember that the Second Amendment doesn't give you a right. In fact, there are no rights in the Bill of Rights that give you any rights. Your rights, my rights, have been bestowed upon us by God. And the Bill of Rights simply affirms those rights and, in fact, acts as a negative check on the federal government, says you can't infringe on these rights. So the leftists don't hate guns. They just hate private ownership of firearms. Bear that in mind. But at the same time, they're continuing to try and advance their gun grabbing agenda. But then it's like, well, but she's part of the latest box to check. She's transgendered. She says she's really a guy. And they can't figure out, do they call her or him, he or she? It's a weird situation to be in, isn't it? All right, do me a favor. Give me a follow over on social media, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Twitter is Jeff Katz Show. The website, TheJeffKatzShow.com. Keep Todd in your thoughts and prayers. Hopefully he's back this week. It's Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is The Todd Starn Show.